Colossians chapter 1, starting at verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Continuing at verse 21. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. And lastly, from chapter 2, verse 6. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness.
Well, we've been away 3 weeks. I was in a different church in England, actually, last Sunday, St. Giles Ickenham, and enjoyed the service there. And it was from that particular service that the word continue, which is my theme for today, really came to me. You'll know this like, kind of funny logo-y thing, and actually the colour isn't too bad up there, is it? I had great problems playing around with the colour, and someone's told me how I could have done it better now, but you probably recognise this, keep calm and carry on was a phrase that appeared, and I assumed that actually all during the Second World War, which for the avoidance of doubt I was not born during, okay, I wasn't alive, that this would have been plastered everywhere. But apparently, according to Wikipedia, it wasn't actually, although they printed lots of this poster, it was only very recently that this poster was refound, and suddenly it's become something we all recognise. And of course, it is linked in with the British stiff upper lip as a concept, that we keep calm and we carry on. And certainly those of you who enjoy, as I do, things like Dad's Army, okay? And you can think about the pompous little man there, mannering. And Carry On Wilson was all about saying that whatever happened, you kept going and you had a stiff upper lip. Now, I'm not sure that that is a totally Christian message, okay? But on the other hand, there is something about the sense of us being given instructions and orders that whatever else is going on, we should carry on in our faith. And that's part of what we've been covering in the service already today. And so that's what I'm going to pick up. Keep faithful. I've changed from calm. I think calm is a sort of is good as well, but faithful perhaps is a more helpful message. Keep faithful and carry on. And that was very much the verse that we've had shared already. And I've just extended it into verse 7 as well. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Keep faithful and carry on. Now, next week, we start our series as we're continuing through the Gospel of John. And in this church, as you know, we quite normally go through a passage of Scripture and work through. But today is slightly different. It isn't an extended form of the notices, but I'm going to be talking more about the word continue found in different places in the New Testament. And I'm also going to be talking about things going on in our lives in church and encouraging you to think about how continuing to be faithful in that situation is what God might be saying to us as we start this new term together. So next week, we're continuing in John's Gospel. Andy D is bringing us the sermon, and we'll be continuing the teaching through that. This is a sort of one-off, picking a number of verses, but taking this word continue as the sort of thing to hang around our sermon. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at continuing to live in Christ Jesus, continuing to live in the faith, don't continue to sin, continue to do good. Those are the four themes I'm picking up. And I've shown the verses there. I'll read one or two when we get to each section. But as you know, it's a habit in our church. On the welcome desk, there are printed versions of some of the slides. This one's there. So if you want to go away and read these verses during the week and use them for study or whatever, please take a copy of the slides at the end. So yes, we're going to be looking then at the whole idea of continuing. And the first one, to continue to live in Christ Jesus. And this is the verse that we've just had, continue in Christ. And I thought about it. I thought, what does that actually mean? What does it mean to live in Christ? It's a strange phrase. What does it mean to live in Christ? And carrying on the theme that we've had already, I'm thinking perhaps about marriages. Now, this is the first official marriage. I've done two marriage services, but this was the first one at the end of which a book was signed and two people got married. Unfortunately, only one of them's here today, which is very alarming, but that's because Kevin's gone back to the US. So a blessing on Anchor and Kevin, and thank you for letting them use this picture. And I thought about a marriage, and just as Lucy said, you think about, starting something just as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live in him. So if you think about a marriage, you come to this wonderful day, and on this wonderful day, you officially become husband and wife. Okay, Anchor and Head Kevin made their vows. Derek Peters made sure it was properly signed and sealed. He kept checking me out to make sure I was going to say the right words. And we got them through them okay. And he could then issue the certificate. And that said they're married. But of course, if that was the end of the whole thing, it would be a bit empty. The whole point is that that was the start of the rest of their lives. And so what Paul is saying when he writes to the Colossians, he's saying just as you became a Christian, as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, so continue to live in him. Go on, because suddenly the world's changed. If you've got married 40 years ago and one day ago, I was a free man, okay? And then the next day, I made the greatest blessing of my life. And I married my wonderful wife, but whatever. And we've had some, I've shared this before, we've had some really tough times and some wonderful times. But the point about it was that at that stage, life changed. And we had to take into account, we probably were before that anyway to an extent, we had to take into account the other person in any decision we made. And so I think this is, if you like, a helpful thing. If we think about continuing to live in Christ, it's like we've made this commitment, but it's one that goes on day by day, week by week. And we need to work it out in that sense. I reckon it's probably quite a good guideline for marriage that you need to be faithful and you need to keep going. Being faithful in marriage clearly is not sleeping around with other people or chasing after other people or whatever. But keeping going may not involve those things. It may just involve the days when you're feeling pretty miserable with life and your partner is too, and yet you don't walk out, you try and make it work. And that can be quite tough going. And realistically, as most of us here perhaps have been Christians for quite a long time, you know what it's like. Some days you wake up and you have a wonderful sense of the Holy Spirit working in your life. And other days you wake up and you say, am I deluded? What's going on here? And I think Lucy's prayer was quite helpful, wasn't it? That we bring not just our praises and our joys to God, but we bring our fears and our doubts as well. And we bring those to God because he knows what we are like. He knows what my heart is like, what your heart is like. And he accepts us, and he is always faithful. And he calls us to be faithful too and to keep going. So to continue in Christ. Next one is to continue in the faith. This was the earlier verse we read in Colossians that used the word continue. God has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is a reminder to me, and I hope to all of us, that there is an if clause built into this. Of course, I must tell you a story. I met a chap, none of you apart from Lucy will know him, but I worked with him. And when he found out I was a Christian, he said, yes, I'm a Christian. He said, I went to a meeting when I was 11, and he was taking the mick, I hasten to add. I went to a meeting when I was 11, and they said, if I asked Jesus into my life, I would be a Christian and go to heaven, so I don't need to worry about anything else. And he was winding me up. He was a very good friend of ours, Brian, actually, in Hong Kong, and a very good friend of ours. But he had had one contact with Christ, but that had not continued. And I don't think, God knows whether he's going to heaven or not, I don't know. But what I do know is that that was, in his mind, superficial and wasn't real. And so, although it's absolutely right to say that anyone who comes to Christ is secure in Jesus, that's absolutely true. It's also good to remind ourselves that there is this if, there is an expectation that if we continue, that we need to continue to follow the faith. And it's interesting to think about what we mean by the faith as well. Let me just read some verses. 3 John 1 says this: it gave John great joy when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth, telling how you continue to walk in it. And it's important that we take God's word seriously and we continue to walk in the truth, the faith in that sense. 2 John says, whoever continues in the teaching of Christ has both the Father and the Son. And James says, whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they've heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. We are called to continue in Christ and to continue in the truth of the gospel given to us. It's also true that we continue as a community in the faith. Most of these verses that I'm reading to you were written to whole churches, to groups of people, saying to them, continue as a community in the faith. And I wanted to kind of bring out a few ways we can do this as a church. The first one is praying with and for one another. And on the 12th of September, you'll see I'm advertising this. We've got, very corny, I'm sorry about this, 12 till 12 on the 12th, okay? And just as some of you remember last January, we prayed from 8 o'clock at night right through the night to 8 in the morning. This time we're going to pray from 12 noon to 12 midnight, okay? Now, all of you are welcome for all 12 hours, okay? All of you are welcome. But equally, if you can just make 30 minutes, sometime between 12 midday and 12 midnight, please do come along. If you look at the Thursday bulletin, you'll see there's a program explaining about it. And every half hour, we'll be doing something slightly different for a four-hour slot. And then we'll repeat that twice more. So if you worked out and you came for exactly the same every 4 hours, you'd pray three times for the same thing, okay? That's all right. God knows. But do come along. This is a call. If we pray together as a church, we will grow and stay and build each other up, and we'll see God working. So 12th of September. That's not this Wednesday, that's Wednesday week, and we'll say a lot more about it next Sunday, but please do come and pray for half an hour, for 12 hours, for anything in between. There's lots of other opportunities to pray. Margaret leads us on Fridays at 8:45. I'm thrilled. We started off with about six or seven about 6 months ago, and now we're almost filled room four. It'd be lovely to have to move to a different room because we were too full. That's great. So come along. We pray through the needs of the church. Or come, if you like, to afternoon prayer. This is more like a meditative and worship service for half an hour on a Monday afternoon, half an hour. That there's no speaking out prayers except those written. We listen to two or three pieces of scripture read. We sometimes sit in silence. We sometimes have a bit of quiet music played. Great. Or pray with each other. That's wonderful. Or Sunday prayer ministry. Do you notice over there, there's a sign that says prayer ministry area. Now, we keep working out which is the best place to have this because there's no good place in this church. But it's wonderful. If you've got something to give thanks for, why don't you meet up with someone else in the church and just say a prayer of thanks? Or if you've got something that's worrying you, go to over there or to someone else anywhere in the church, but that's always there after the service. There are a couple of people there. Go and share with them and they'll pray for you. Or if you want healing or you've got an issue, a problem, go there. There should be someone there to pray with you. Let's pray together because that helps us continue as a community in the faith. We've got lots of other things that go on in this church, midweek, house groups, lots of other midweek groups. You'll see they're all starting up again for the autumn. Inspire, Just Living, Wednesday Fellowship, lots of other groups. Please go along, find somewhere that helps you grow in your faith. And I've mentioned already, one of the things about being in the faith is sharing it with your family, friends and neighbours. The Alpha course is starting. Please consider bringing someone along. Encourage each other. Hebrews 10:24-25 says this: let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. Encouraging one another. The next one of my three, of my four, is don't continue to sin. 1 John 3:6 says, no one who lives in Jesus keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Now, having just emphasized the if on one side of the equation, I want to emphasize too, when it says here, no one who continues to sin has seen him or known him, it doesn't mean if we sin once, that that means that we're struck out of God's plans. It doesn't mean that. This is the habitual sin, the choosing to continue in sin. And even if that's a habit we've got into, at any time, those that call upon the name of the Lord can be saved, can be forgiven. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But living in Christ does mean we do need sometimes to make sacrificial choices about the way that we live. Sometimes what God wants and what we want will not coincide. And if that is the case, then if we are following Jesus, we need to give him the priority. As Jesus says, you can't serve two masters. A nice quote from William Barclay. A great fact of the Christian faith is not that it makes us free to sin, but that it makes us free not to sin. Being a Christian doesn't mean we can do anything we like, but it gives us the power to do what God wants us to do and live for him. And in Romans as well, chapter 11, talking about this thing about sin, it says, consider therefore the kindness and sternness of God. Sternness to those who fell, but kindness to you, provided that you continue in God's kindness. Kindness is like the grace. We don't deserve it, but God's kindness gives us his forgiveness. But God is stern as well, and we need to balance this fact that God calls us to a life which is to turn away from sin and to live in his kindness. And finally, do good work and continue to do good work. 1 Peter 4. So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Galatians 2. We should continue to remember the poor. Hebrews 13. Continue to remember those in prison. Hebrews 6. God will not forget your work and the love you've shown him as you've helped his people and you continue to help them. We are called to be good, to do things that are good in life for those around us. And one of the things here, I think, is about living well every day. We've often talked in this church about your front line. Now, you're in church for a couple of hours a week, but you're in your daily life every day. You're in your job, if you've got a job, maybe 40 hours a week. That is the place where we need to live for Jesus Christ in the way that we go about things. I've put this book up here, and some of you may have seen as you came in, we have this opportunity. It's a lovely small book. It doesn't take very long to read, but I've got a copy for every household here today. Please take one. Two very kind members of the church have donated them for us, paid for them so that we could take them. Please take it, one per household or whatever, and read it through and enjoy thinking about how you live as a Christian in your job. If you're driving a truck, how do you drive a truck as a Christian? I can tell you how you don't do it as a Christian. I was cut up the other day by someone with a bumper sticker with a fish on it. Now, that's the reason I've got no pictures of fish or whatever on mine. I wouldn't dare, the way I drive, show myself to be a Christian. But you know what I mean? If you're driving a truck, drive it for Christ. If you are running an HR meeting, run that meeting for Jesus Christ. I heard two stories in the last 2 days which really, really encouraged me, actually. One person at work, and they had someone who had a real difficulty, and they were prompted by the Holy Spirit to pray for their healing in a very public way, and they were healed. Now, why am I surprised? But praise God, they were healed. And so this person went round saying, so-and-so healed me. And then the so-and-so had to go around and say, actually, it was God that healed him. But that was how it happened. That was taking the initiative. Someone who had a real problem that everyone in the office could see was prayed for and healed. Or I spoke to someone else who told me that they've just retired. But the person that took on their job had phoned up and wanted to come and talk through the difficulties, the sense of challenge and failure they felt in their job. And that person was in a position to encourage and support someone who might have been quite suspicious of them. But because they'd lived as a Christian in their work situation, the successor could clearly trust the predecessor. Whatever we do, however we live, we are called to be Christians, to continue in the faith, to carry on in what we do day by day. And in many ways, that's more important than anything we do when we're in church and on our best Christian behavior. And there are lots and lots of activities that we do linked with this church that bless our community as well. One of them is Tiddlywinks. And we just bring this before you because we're praying for wisdom about how best to manage the leadership. Really grateful to Catherine and Candy taking on something again to keep us going for a while. But pray that we find someone to take on. We get, I think there's, I've forgotten how many it is, but there's about 100 linked families and their children and so on. It's a big number come in here and use the facilities and say what a wonderful toddler club it is. This is something that we do to bless our community, and we should continue to do good. We've talked about the Raising Healthy Teens, and this is something that we can do. We can offer to a community with many, many people concerned about how our young people are growing up. This is something we can do. This is not specifically Christian. This is just talking to everyone that's got teenagers about how and what might be done to help them. And this is something we could do to continue to do good, to bless our community. And there are many, many other activities we've got as well, linked with the church, come together, which we'll talk about more in a couple of weeks' time. And lots of our coffee shop, lots of other things that we do, which are a real blessing to those in our community. And we need to participate in our community and continue to do good. So as we come to the end of this, I want to go back to that verse again. Just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, starting your Christian life, so continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him. And that little phrase there, rooted and built up in him, encourages us to think too that every day, if possible, we need to draw strength from God's word, through prayer, through taking time to spend with him, because that's what it means to be rooted in Jesus, to draw on his strength. Strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness, giving him praise for all that he has done for us. We've got an opportunity this evening. Derek is leading the evening communion, and that's a smaller service than this usually, but a chance for us to meet together around a theme of the bread of life, which is what we're going to be looking at as we break bread together, helping us to be rooted and built up in Jesus. There are house groups, there are midweek groups, there are all sorts of things going on, but continue to build up your faith. Be rooted and grounded in Jesus. Keep faithful and carry on.